We are learning tonight halacha. Moving on to what we discussed yesterday. Yesterday we discussed Besiyat Tishmai, the halachas of what happens if there is a touching of two matzahs which are touching. We learned you've got a break off Mokem HaNetile, Mokem HaMaga, the touched area. You've got to break that off. You do have to break that off because of the potentially the chametz may have the bliyas of the chametz may have gone into the matzah. However, you don't have to do more than that. Now, contrary to fatty, oily substances, where we assume that it spreads further, when it comes to a matzah, it's considered kochosh. It's not fatty, not oily, and therefore it will only go as far as the kedei netila, which is, according to the poskim I saw today, it's about 2.5 centimeters. Further than that, is not required to break off at all. Now, this sounds very foreign, obscure, and abstract. It is not. It is not. In fact, every matzah bakery encounters this issue very frequently. And the Rambam is going to tell us in what case. In what case and why this is so common and so frequent. I know it's very bizarre in a way, because we freak out in our kitchens, in our houses, freak out anywhere remotely associated with chametz. Like we get so I wouldn't say panicked, because that is, there's the emotional element in it. I don't mean the emotional part. We get so we're so stringent, so machmir. We keep such an extreme distance to any chametz. But in a way, it is so strange, because a matzah bakery is touch and go between matzah and chametz. It's literally touch and go. And there is it's so difficult to keep a matzah bakery chametz free. It sounds bizarre, but it is. It really is, because chametz is, that's what it is. It's flour and water getting together. And every chametz baker will at some point, may I say, encounter. Every matzah baker is at some point going to encounter chametz within its process. Even in during the process of actually baking, there's frequently issues with genuine chametz. And this is what we're going to be learning tonight. One of the very common scenarios which got to be dealt with in the matzah bakeries, whether it is matzah or hand matzahs, machine matzah or hand matzahs. So I'm up to page 122, Siman Tov Samach Aleph Sif Hei. There's two basic shilas, two common shilas. The first one is the following, which the Ramah says, matzah shenichfala betanu. It's a matzah which is kofol, which is folded over in the oven. It is one of the hardest, if not the hardest, task in a matzah bakery, is to take this dough and to lift it up and to shovel into the oven with that keli, with that spoon, to put it into the oven. It's very hard to keep it in a way that the dough remains flat and straight throughout. It is very likely you need a skill. It's a real skill to be able to do that, and a lot of training and expertise. If you get it wrong, what happens is that somehow at some point the dough flips over and you kind of double it up. Now, the problem with that is, if you're doubling it up and it's not squeezed again, what happens then is, if it's doubled up and that's the way it enters the oven, you're going to have potentially an issue that whilst it is baked in the bottom and whilst it is baked on top, you're going to have the doubled area internally, the within that area which is not facing the fire upwards and downwards, the doubled over area within, that is not really baked thoroughly at all. It's not exposed to the extreme heat of the fire. Consequently, since our ovens have such incredible heat that everything is baked within 10-20 seconds, that's only if it's completely flat. Obviously, once you've got the doubled over area, that's not going to be baked in such a short area. On the contrary, the heat is, as we discussed yesterday, the heat is going to cause it to be becoming chametz and not being baked at all. So therefore, a kofol, we've got an issue with the kofol. This is called the matzah kfula, which literally means kofol, a doubled over matzah. Says the Ramah, matzah shenichfala betanu, a matzah which is doubled over. in the oven, v'tvuka, and it sticks, ad she'en sholet shama esh, to an extent that the fire will not reach it, it will not be exposed to the actual fire, it's not getting baked from the heat of the fire. Now, oisin oisoy toicha Pesach, this becomes also, this, if this is baked on Pesach, this is also. This matzah, we forbid this matzah, this is a matzah kfula. It's considered kful, it's doubled over, and it's also. Now, the Gemara continues, avol, but sham matzah shebetano, the other matzahs which are baked simultaneously in the oven, muta are permitted. We discussed yesterday that with regards to Pesach, Recha lav milza, there is really a concept of Recha, of the smoke, the Recha, the smoke, the flagrance, the Recha, although it's a very concentrated oven and it's a very intense, but nevertheless, if it's not touching the smoke, the Recha lav milza doesn't answer the other item. Recha, the smoke, lav milza is not significant. It's not transmitting blias. Consequently, so if you've got a matzah kfula, the matzah itself on Pesach is also, however, it's not answering the other matzahs which were baked simultaneously in the oven at the same time than the kfula. You don't have to worry beyond and further than the matzah kfula itself. Now, with regards to koidim Pesach, we don't really have to be so strict. What happens? We don't normally tend to bake matzahs on Pesach. Well, out to, but we don't normally bake matzahs on Pesach. Consequently, make it din, if you're looking at it, if you're baking the matzahs before Pesach, so you've got to look at Me'ikar HaDin. So really thinking about it, let's think it through. You've got a matzah, thin and nice, and as you're penetrating, as you're putting it to the oven, it's folded over. It's not looking like this anymore, but it's looking like this. And that's how it's being baked. We are worried about the inside over here. I don't know if you can see it okay. We're worried about this part over here, which is not baked, which we're assuming that is not baked properly. This, we're exposed to the fire, is being baked. This is being exposed to the fire, is getting baked. But this inside it, we're concerned that it's not being baked, and therefore it's a kfula. Now, but really, 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 if we think about it, we said before, if this is happening on Pesach, forget it, put all nuts away, and that's it. But if you look at Me'ikar HaDin, really, if this happens, if you're baking before Pesach, and this happened before Pesach, really, do you have to forbid the entire matzah? Do you really, Me'ikar HaDin, have to forbid the entire matzah, or perhaps not? So, based on and following what we learned yesterday, you don't really have to chuck the entire matzah. Because we learned yesterday, what's the halacha if a matzah touches chometz? How much of the matzah becomes also? Kedei netila, just a couple of centimeters. It's not spreading further than that. So this really can be compared to a bread, to chometz, touching matzah. It will only become also a kedei klifa, the thumb width, which is the equivalent of 2.5 centimeters. Therefore, if I've got this case over here, I don't have to worry beyond the 2.5 centimeters, and the rest of the matzah will be permitted. So even in a folded matzah, in a kfula, really, and this is really important, we'll see that happens in every matzah break frequently, we really don't have to worry more than a kedei klif, a kedei netil, you don't have to worry more than this 2.5 centimeters, finger width. It's talking about a thumb. When we talk about finger width, it's talking about the, it's about, you don't have to really worry further than that. So even a matzah kfula, if this happens before Pesach, you don't have to chuck the entire matzah. All you got to do really is, this is chometz. It really is chometz touching a matzah. It is. A kfula is unbaked, and we look at it as being chametz, but nevertheless, you don't have to worry more than a kedei netili, which is 2.5 centimeters. Crack it off and keep the rest. And you can sell it for mehuda diga matzah. For how much is a box of matzah? How much did it cost? A good box of matzahs? It costs, yeah, but it could very well be. How much?
Makuza's 99p.
Right, okay. So, yeah, if you go for them, or even the other ones, there's no issue. There could be matzahs in there that perhaps were touching chometz by being dvuka, by being a kfula, and it was doubled over, crack off that part, and the rest is fine.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah, so if you break off a part, is that still considered a whole matzah?
Yeah, very good question. Very good question. That's a good question. The answer is no. But what you can do is you can burn off the sides, the edges of a cracked off matzah, and thereby remaking it again into a complete matzah. It's according to many poskim, you can't do that. But you're right. In principle, by breaking it, it's not considered shalom. There is a way of fixing it by, in theory, even if you fold it over before you bake it, and you don't want to like unfold it because it's too much of a business, you could really do the same sophisticated approach. So let's say you're about, just to respond to your question, you're about to put it in the oven and you see that it's folded over, it's gone folded, so you quickly, this is going to become chametz, it's halachically considered, you could just cut it off before you put it in the oven and bake it like that. That would be perfectly acceptable. It is of importance to note that matzah bakeries deal with that. It is very common to a kfulos. A kfulah is common. It happens a lot. Imagine what it's like to do hundreds of matzahs with his marides, with his shovel, put it in, and do it like, put it in the oven like this hundreds of times. It's inevitable that many of them are going to be doubled over. We don't want to eat doubled over matzahs because, as we said, this is considered chum. So therefore, what they tend to do, most matzah bakeries, they will actually appoint a full time employed shoymer. It's not a shoymer, it's a job of taking out all the doubled over matzahs. It is so common that it's worth it for the matzah manufacturers to actually take any matzah which seems to be doubled over, even to some extent, and they take it out. And this is true both by machine matzahs and by hand matzahs. It is very common. It is worthwhile. I can't say actually at a kfula. It wasn't mamash a kfula, but it's worthwhile keeping an eye on it. It's worthwhile keeping an eye on it. It happens sometimes that the matzahs that we get in our matzah boxes, sometimes they are not perfectly. I didn't actually have a kfula, but it was close enough that it was a bit. It didn't look quite right. You don't have to chuck the entire box. In fact, you don't have to chuck the entire matzah. All you got to do is you break it off. You're right, Mr. Ezekiel, this wouldn't be considered shalom anymore. But in my particular case, I didn't need a shalom, it was just spare matzahs, so it was fine to just break it off and keep it inside. But it's definitely keeping in mind. Okay, this is with regards to matzah kefula, doubled over matzahs. We continue. Top of page, Samach Beis, matzah. Nefucha. Nefucha means it's swollen. A matzah which is swollen. This is not kfula, it is swollen. Matzah nefucha. Pemtsa'isa in the middle asura. Now, this entire matzah is also. You've got a matzah which is blown and swollen, the entire matzah becomes also. Here again, whether it is hand matzah, machine matzahs, if it's too swollen, you put it in the bin. b'shasafir. But if it looks still baked, you've got on top a layer which appears to be baked, then muteres, then it's fine. So we've got two possible issues. One is the issue of kfula, which we discussed, and one is the issue of nefucha, which is swollen. How big is if it's swollen, how big is it an issue? Obviously, every matzah has got some swollen parts, because inevitably, by making the holes, which we do with every matzah, we try to avoid great swellings. Of course we do, but more often than not, there will be some, the bumps, they're also, that's what they are, it's swollen. So how big is it? When is it actually an issue? How big does the swollen nefucha parts need to be in order that it becomes also, that we consider this hasn't been baked thoroughly? How big? Mishlebu tells us in Seif Cotton, Lamet Dalet. Ein ba'achonim she'iskimu she'en leso elim kein ha'chalal u'godol kol kach k'mo ego is luz she'koyin hazel nus, which we call in good English a hazelnut. How big is a hazelnut? Yeah? How big? Yeah, like this? Okay. So that would be, once it's blown that much, it would be considered a nefucha matzah, blown matzah, which we asa all together. And in fact, we assume that it is considered chametz gomur. It happens in matzah bakeries. What you do then, what do you do actually, just on a side note, what do you do in a matzah bakery if you're baking and you suddenly see that it's folded over, or you see that it's blown out of proportion, and thereby we assume that this is chometz, we're not going to sell this. What do you want to do? Because if this is chometz, if you're taking it out, you've got chometz in the matzah bakery. Now that's not great news. Some do that, but it's not the best way of doing it. Practically speaking, very practically, you're baking the matzah, and you see, as you're looking in the oven, you see that this is doubled over. You don't want it. This is chometz. Or you see that it's blown out. It's chometz. What do you do? If you're taking it out, you're putting it next to all the hundreds of matzahs which you have, which are trying to sell good chometz, good matzahs. So how are you taking this chometz stick matzah out? What are you going to do with it? In a matzah bakery, what are you going to do with it? So the most common thing, or the best advice is, what do? You keep it in the oven. It's going to burst into flames. And it'll be alright. It's fire there. So you keep it in the oven, it burns. It catches fire, and that's what they tend to do, and that's alright. Nothing wrong with it. Okay, the last halacha is im shnei matzah shoych v'zu al zu betanu. Koidim af yosam, before baking, there is two matzahs which lie on top of the other. Again, top of page 124. Im shnei matzahs, if two matzahs shoych v'z lie zu al zu, one on top of the other, betanu in the oven. Koidim af yosam, before it's being baked, asurim, they are also to have a matzah kfula, that would be considered a matzah kfula. Matzah kfula is not only if the one matzah gets doubled over, and matzah kfula is also, it's probably obvious, if two matzahs end up being on top of the other, that's also considered kfula. Again, for the same reason, because we assume that the internal area, the area within, is not being baked, as it's not exposed directly to the fire. So that's considered the kfula, and it's also the inner, its innermost bits is not being baked well, and we consider it chometz. Keep it far away from it. Similarly, finally, v'cheni shlei zoyam. Similarly, also, you've got to be careful. Shlei yiguze b'zeh betanu be'odin lachin. Whilst the matzahs are in the oven, you've got to make sure they don't touch one another. You've got one person putting in the matzah lower down, and the other matzah baker is putting it higher up. It's both in the same oven. You got to make sure the two matzahs are not touching. Boy, the lachin, as long as they are still moist and wet. Why? Ki'ena tanu shoylet b'mokim negiyosan, because the areas which are being touched, the fire is not reaching there, it's not exposed to the real fire. Uvoin li dechimutz, and it will get to become chometz. It will get to become chometz, and therefore we forbid, we don't allow matzahs which touched, and therefore we keep far away. Gentlemen, this is very necessary particularly for machine matzahs, the conveyor belts. The conveyor belts, they normally ensure as we go in. I wonder if we can see that on a video. There must be. Maybe we can start. What you see about the conveyor belts is the last part when they exit. They've got to make sure that the matzahs don't touch. You've got to keep a distance, a safe distance, social distancing between the matzahs. They may not touch. You've got to keep distance between the matzahs, because we assume if they do touch, then we're going to say it hasn't been baked properly. This area of here is not being baked properly. You've got to therefore keep a social distance between the matzahs as they go to the conveyor belt. The reality is, the matzah bakeries, what they do is that they speed up the conveyor belt as it's going out. They speed up, so there's a certain distance between the matzahs. And the way of checking this out, and one should check this out, when you've got matzahs, you check out the edges of the matzahs. You've got to make sure that the edges of the matzahs are slightly burnt. If the edges of the matzahs are slightly burnt, you know that it's fine, it's kosher, it's good. However, if you have a matzah which appears to be not completely baked on the side, which seem to be not a little bit burnt on the edges, you may have to worry about this Rama over here that teaches us that if matzahs touch when they are still wet, then we assume they haven't been baked thoroughly. And we assume that perhaps it hasn't been baked properly, and therefore if it's not baked properly and it's exiting the oven, it's obviously going to become chametz. Therefore, and subsequently, you've got to make sure that the edges of the matzahs are thoroughly baked, and the way to evidence that is by having it slightly burnt on the sides. This is very important to check. It normally is. But at some rare occasions, you will see that this is more common probably by the machine matzahs than by the hand matzahs. You check on the edges, on the sides, and if it is not thoroughly baked, we have to assume it's chashash. Mishneh Berurah calls it one point. He calls it chashash kfula, which is chashash deraisa. Chashash deraisa, because we're concerned maybe it's not baked thoroughly, and it would be considered a. It might be chometz. So that's the way one checks. One makes sure that the edges are burnt, not properly burnt, but you know what I mean. The common kind of well baked look. Okay, gentlemen, this is very, very important. Let's summarize what we learned this evening. We learned about a matzah kfula. Kfula means a double dough of a matzah. During its baking process, or perhaps prior to that, the matzah got doubled over, and we assume the inside bit wasn't baked thoroughly, it's become chametz. If this happens on Pesach, you chuck the entire matzah. The more common case is that it happened before Pesach. When you're baking before Pesach, then the halacha is, like any other chametz that touches matzah, all you need to do is you break off the part which is kofel, the doubled over area, plus kdei netile, which is a fingered width, which is about 2.5 centimeters, and with that, the matzah is kosher. Whilst Mr. Zekil's point is correct, that it is not considered sholeim, but it is certainly considered kosher. It's not chometz. We also learned tonight, b'siyat dishmaya, about the swollen matzah nefucha. If it's blown up and swollen, we assa the entire matzah. A matzah which is swollen is also. This is defined by having a more than a egoiz, which is a hazelnut width. Once it's blown that much, you assume this is chametz and you put it in the bin. So this is kfula and this is nefucha, which is also. The added chumrah of the Ramah, which we finished off with, is that any time two matzahs, which were wet and unbaked, touch each other, we asa, we consider it a chashash kfula, and we assume that perhaps it didn't bake properly, and we forbid that, and the place which touched became also. Therefore, we've got to make sure that any matzahs don't touch whilst they're being baked. This is something which is worthwhile checking and double checking, because it didn't stop the rice according to Mishnah Berurah. Fine, these are the points we covered this evening. Just let me allow me to finish off with a beautiful medrash which I saw again in the Sefer. It's a beautiful medrash. I just want to share it with you. I'm just literally the words of the medrash. At the very end, at the very end of the Megillah, at the very climax of the Megillah, what a beautiful medrash. What a beautiful medrash. What a beautiful, powerful medrash. The medrash at the very, very end, when all the brachas come, and Boaz marries Ruth, and they have children, and they have a child, and Vayiten lo Hashem eroyoin, vatele bein, and we know this is leading to the malchus of Beis David, Obed, Yishai, David, Shloime, etc. So, the medrash says of Yom HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's a medrash in Perik Zayin of Medrash Rabbah. He says as follows: Yom HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Boaz also es shaloi, Boaz did his part. Boaz had to do his part. He did his part. Assume this is referring to the chesed which he did. I assume he's also referring to marrying her. He did his part and doing the chalitza, which was, and I think that it's referring to birth and his part. Rus also shalom. Rus did her part as well. It's probably referring to her enormous mesirus nefesh early in the Megillah. Rus did her part. Boaz did her part. Boaz did his part. Rus did her part. Naomi also shalom. Naomi also did hers. She also went through enormous amount of yisurin mesirus nefesh. She also had her fair share in challenges and difficulties. So Boaz also shalom. Rus also shalom. Naomi also shalom. Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, "Hafani ese esheli, I will also do my part." Veiten Hashem lo eroyin, and Kadosh Baruch Hu benched them, and from here Malchus Beis David actually emerged and came. They did all their part. I'm going to do my part. What a tremendous chizik that we all should do our part. And as long as we do our part, Kadosh Baruch Hu do his part. It's a bit like in Besol Salanta used to say, "A mensch darf ton nicht auftun." If we do our part, or if we do what's on us, we'll do what we need to do. We have to look no further, because Baruch is going to do the rest. Tremendous, tremendous. I think it's an enormous chizik in that. We don't have to change the world, we have to do our part, and Kadosh Baruch is going to do the rest. With this in mind, I wish you a very, very good evening. A very good evening indeed. And we'll resume tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.